him, this was not the case. For him, when Christ commanded the apostles to go and teach all nations, I quote him here, "The church of all times and all places received the mission's command from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and therefore also the Orthodox Church." The church in the United States received the same commission, the same church, which, as Lochner contended elsewhere, ought to be committed to the old Lutheran liturgy. Besides the Missionstaube and the Notes there block, Lochner's publications included lengthy biographies of Kramer and Ottomar Fearbringer in the pages of Der Lutheraner and a history of his congregation in Milwaukee. He published a volume of sermons on the epistle lessons for the church year and two series of devotions, one for Lent and the other for Easter. His interest in liturgic prompted him to produce a children's liturgy for Christmas and a congregational service for Good Friday. He also is the author of the first pocket agenda in the Missouri Synod, a collection of occasional services, prayers, and rites prepared for the pastor and published in a small and convenient format. Amidst all of his publications, however, there is one that stands out as his masterpiece. Almost a decade after retiring from the classroom, Lochner produced one of his most important contributions to the church. For in 1895, he published his Hauptgottesdienst, der evangelischen Kirchenkirche. Based upon his classroom lectures at Springfield, this work, even today, provides an excellent introduction to Lutheran worship. Obviously, we cannot analyze this work thoroughly this afternoon, and to that end, I wish to recommend the ongoing work of the Reverend John Fenton, who is investigating both the sources and influences of Lochner's liturgical work. I also want to thank Pastor Fenton for all of the help that he gave me in preparing this lecture. The Hauptgottesdienst is a fascinating work that includes both the theory and practice of Lutheran worship. In the first part of the work, Lochner discusses the origin and shape of the Lutheran liturgy, with special emphasis upon the contributions of Martin Luther, whom he celebrates not only as a great theologian, but also a great musician. In the second part of the work, Lochner goes through each of the sections of the divine service from the intro to the benediction, describes how each ought to be done, and includes the music to be used with each part. For Lochner, worship proceeds from theology. Already in 1861, in a paper prepared for the Northern District of the Synod, he had argued that Lutheran worship is the mean between the extremes of Rome and the Reform. And now in the Hauptgottesdienst, he shows in detail how this is true. For Lochner, as for Luther, the liturgy revolves about word and sacrament in their truth and purity, so that what perverts or obscures the gospel must go, while that which proclaims and promotes the gospel must stay. This includes also and especially the music. Text and note, accent, mode, and expression must work together. In his introduction, Lochner notes that over the course of his lifetime, he had seen an improvement in the liturgical life of the church as a result of renewed emphasis upon pure doctrine. However, he was afraid for the future. "We are living," he wrote, "in a land of rank reformed sectarianism, in a fundamentally reformed country. There will be a growing need of defending the coming generation against the influence of our English Puritan environment. Furthermore, there is less and less patience and endurance in regard to spiritual exercises. People demand that an already abbreviated service be shortened still more." Again, There is frequently a lack of real liturgical understanding and comprehension, as may be expected under the circumstances, and consequently no desire to retain the liturgical heritage only recently regained. Alas, even the precious doctrine of Christian freedom is no longer applied properly over against the ungodly world, and the spirit of immorality threatens our very existence. As time goes on, there will be an increasing tendency to part with the beautiful ceremonies unhesitatingly, since they are neither commanded nor forbidden. Lochner could have written this in 1995 instead of 1895, and I believe that the entire work is equally worth reading. It is filled with the insights of a Lutheran pastor committed to the Lutheran liturgy as to the Lutheran confession for the sake of the gospel and the people who need to hear it. Now, it's obvious that there is a great deal more to say about Friedrich Lochner than the little that we have been able to mention today, not only as a liturgic professor, but also as a pastor, not only as a defender of the faith, but also as a proponent of it. Lochner exemplified what it means to be a confessional Lutheran, dedicated, evangelical, and faithful. His legacy is one that we should all treasure as we thank God for the heritage of Friedrich Lochner, a founding father of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Thank you very much. Thank you for that warm response. I don't really know what the schedule is here, but if somebody's got a question or two, we could take it, I'm sure. Does everybody now know who Friedrich Lochner was? That's what everybody's asking. Sure.
What was the false understanding of Krause's
That he could unilaterally excommunicate without reference to the congregation or even attempting to persuade the congregation. The story was this. He came storming back and preached a sermon in which he announced that they were all out, that he was no longer giving them communion. And then, subsequent to that, a couple of the elders of the church came to him and asked if he wouldn't meet with them to explain more what was going on, and he refused to do it. And that was the conversation there. Chad.
Since Lochner had a very shortened, formal education, where do you think he picked up his expertise in matters of the liturgy, and what gave him the authority to teach it as a professor with such a short curriculum in his own training?
Well, let me just add this, that Lochner had a pretty good education prior to going to Leyup. His parents, I mentioned, had seen to it that he had been prepared as a school teacher. That was about a three-year program. And in that program, particularly, it had to pass a music exam. So he had been exposed to kind of the musical heritage of the Lutheran Church. Moreover, his family was a good Lutheran family, and he had grown up exposed to good preaching and good liturgy, to which he refers in the Hauptgottesdienst on more than one occasion. So kind of from a kid, he had seen this stuff. However, he is also an example of what I think, and I hope all of us are, somebody who didn't stop after he left the Neuen Dettelsau Purgatory. I mean, what Leah had done, and there was another man involved with this, a fellow by the name of Hummel, who had come in on weekends to do a liturgy and hymnody, was to demonstrate the importance of this. And so he simply continued to work at it. And when he got over here to America, The Saxons were saying, you've got to read Luther, so it's obvious that he did as well. So he just kept learning and studying. He says in the introduction to the Hauptgottesdienst that when he went to the seminary, he kind of had to pick it up formally again. So that's the story. Thanks. Great. Thank you again.